You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
This is episode 29 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm your host, Dion Morales, and I am joined by Gold Leader, Mr. Ron Longhi.
Welcome, everybody.
Our Targeting Coordinator, Andrea Longhi.
Hey, guys.
Marcel Manzano, Mr. Stranger Danger.
I am not creepy at all.
And today, we are not joined by Alex. He is on husband and daddy duty. He's got some things to do, so we'll talk to him next time. Our plan for today is we are going back to our playbook, and we're going to take a look at Jerry Russell's Junkyard Dogs list. We've seen it called a couple of different things. We're going to be taking a look at that list. We're also going to be taking a look at our local store championship meta and also kind of the overall meta and We're also going to be taking a look at how the meta is shaping out in store championships that have been reported to List Juggler. And we'll also continue taking our listener questions. Let's do a Patreon update. So one thing we did, guys, is I added a new $5 tier called the Squadron Leader tier. And what has happened is they're going to get all the same things that the $4 tier people are getting. But the additional thing that we're going to add is we're going to call the list head-to-head. Now, our dearly departed Back to Dials podcast, all right? So our friends at Back to Dials, they're done. There is no more Back to Dials. They used to do this thing where they would play a game with some of their patrons. And I said, you know what? Since they're dead, we can just steal it because it doesn't matter.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So I thought it was a fun idea, and we're gonna borrow that name in memoriam of Back to Dials. And the idea is the patron's going to play a recorded game with me or maybe even another patron, either via Vassal or in person, using pre-constructed lists. And the idea here is that the lists are pre-constructed in order to explore different builds and see what we can develop as a podcast community. We'll discuss the game as it's going on and then do a short summary at the end. This will then be published to our YouTube page. And what we'll probably do is the pre and post interview is we'll publish it on our podcast feed as just bonus content. So just something else that we can throw out in the community and start trying to help with the meta build.
Unlock the hologram.
All right, guys. So today we're going to be taking a look at Jerry Russell's top four lists from Worlds 2017. And I know Ron and Andrew, you guys haven't taken a look at this list yet, but I want to break it down for you, give you guys what the ships are, and anybody else who's listening who hasn't seen this list, it's really good. And let's break it down. Marcel, you want to give us those pilots and those upgrades?
Sure. You got Biggs with the R4-D6, which you take stress to get rid of anything over two regular hits. Does not work on criticals. With integrated astromech, you have Captain Rex flying naked. Just Pava with R2-D6, which gives him the... Is it him or her?
Her.
Her, thanks. Gives her the elite pilot talent, and you equip adaptability to get her up to four, to get over those three pilot skill generics that are popular right now on the scum side. And then the stress Braylon with R3A2 title and gunner. Comes in at 100 points.
100 points. It doesn't need a bid. So I know that I've done quite a bit of study on this list. I faced it a few times already. And I also reached out to Jerry. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get a comment from him in time, but I reached out to Zach Matthews, who actually won a store championship in Peoria, Illinois, flying the list. Marcel, have you had any experience playing against this list or have any thoughts on it before I go on my my spiel?
No, I've never actually flown against it. I've flown a version of it myself, with a Y-Wing stress bot instead of Braylon, and that was able to give me a stronger EPT on Jess, which I had Jess basically with an R2-D2. So, no, I've never actually flown against this specific list.
All right, so some of the good things about this list, let's talk about his strengths, right? So you have Rex there plus Biggs. If you're not familiar with Rex's ability, Rex, once he has shot somebody, it applies the suppressive fire condition card, which then lowers the attack dice that the ship that has the condition is throwing, unless it's attacking Rex. So because you have Biggs in there, let's say you have a three dice attack ship, now you become an A-Wing and you're only throwing two dice because you have to attack Biggs, assuming you're using your primary. So, you know, double stressing with R3A2 on Braylon is great. It's with Gunner, is the hope that what the trick is here is you purposely don't use the title, because on the title for the ARC-170, it says you may add the extra dice out of the front. So you purposely roll only two dice, hoping to miss. And then, you know, you do your R3A2. Always make sure you declare R3A2 before you roll. Then you trigger Gunner, call R3A2 again, and then now you throw your three dice because you want to do damage on that second turn. And the really cool thing about doing this with Braylon is that you have the possibility of shedding all the stress with his ability. So if you do a green maneuver next turn, plus his ability, which says after you execute a maneuver, roll a dice, on a hit or a crit, remove a stress token, you could have double stressed somebody with R3A2 and the next turn still be able to focus or target lock, which is really cool. This build is really good against Atani, because Atani doesn't like stress. It really doesn't like double stress, especially if you can start double stressing different ships and all of a sudden you got 3-4 ships starting to stack up the stress. Marcel, you mentioned having Jess Paba at PS4. The big reason why we have it at PS4 is because of the torpedo scouts. Because the hope is that she can kill a torpedo scout in an engagement before it gets to fire its final volley. Because without adaptability, she's also a PS3. This list likes to joust. This is a jousting list. And one big thing is that it is not afraid to final salvo. It has 10 dice. And at Worlds, Jerry is quoted as saying, "I'm not going over there." So in his match against, in his match against Travis Johnson, Travis tried to do what is a good strategy against this list. He tried to, you know, they built a nice asteroid field, and Travis was hoping that Jerry would take his four-ship Rebel build, we're going to call it Fair Ship Rebel, that's the other name for it, and would fly through the rocks, break up that formation, and then he'd be able to pick them off with his aces. All of these ships have a 4K, so what Jerry did with his four-ship Rebel build is just stay on his side of the board and K-turn over and over again. Because with 10 dice in the final salvo, he was more than comfortable saying, "Hey, if you're not going to come at me, I'm not going to engage you on your terms." We've talked about that before, right? You're going to come to me, and we're going to fight on my terms.
And what was Travis flying?
Travis was flying Fenrau, Old Tarak, Mana Room.
So that's 8.
Yep. So what ended up happening is once Travis realized that Jerry was never going to engage him past the rocks, he now was limited on time to actually take him out. And when all was said and done, Jerry was up on points and got into the top four and eliminated Travis. So, go ahead, Andrea.
I mean, that's kind of I don't know that I would feel super confident 10 dice versus 8 in final salvo. Maybe that's because I don't roll dice as well as other people.
But, well, if you look at it statistically, I mean, you have the advantage there.
Oh, and for sure.
Yeah.
But statistically, it's 4 dice versus 5 dice. That's like that 1 die margin. I don't know if that is enough for me to say I am comfortably okay with only doing final salvo. But
you also have to measure it.
Sorry.
You have to measure it against is it better for you to go in with the advantage of rolling more dice versus going to fight on your opponent's terms and then having a big disadvantage and maybe getting destroyed?
Yep. And so now I have, to date, I have about 5 matches against this list with different people flying it. I've been able to win all of them, but that's because I will admit that none of them has been as patient as Jerry was, which is the big difference. So when you play against this list, it is really good to have a thick cluster of rocks and see if your opponent will allow you to kite them through the rocks. If you remember in our Worlds coverage, one of my games was against this exact list, and I got the guy, I didn't engage him right away, and he started getting upset because I didn't engage him in the lane that he wanted. So he got impatient and came after me through the rocks, and then I was able to pick him off and win the game. That is, I think, the best game plan. If they get impatient and they engage you through the rocks, you're going to have a significant advantage because you can make them break the Biggs bubble and be able to get Braylon. That should be your first ship. If possible, you want to take Braylon out. Because without Braylon, all of the things don't really work together. Now, go ahead. The other things that have worked is, so I have been flying a Fenrau Ul Tarak Manaru variant. And one thing that has really worked for me is coming in from multiple sides. So what I'll do is I'll take my blocker. In my list, it's Manaru, and I'll take it, and I'll throw it right in front of his list. She's going to get hurt, especially in that opening volley, but the turn after, I'm able to just destroy the formation. That's the goal, is in that second turn, force my opponent to mess it up, and in that turn where my Manaru gets shot, my Fenrau and Ul Tarak are coming in from the other sides and picking off Biggs. I can usually clear Biggs in 2 turns. And if I really need to, I'll purposefully bump Biggs with Fenrau in order to get range 1 shots and pour damage into Braylon. All those things have worked really well against that list. I don't know how common this list is in other metas, but I know that versus Atani, as long as Atani's good, this list is going to be really good against Atani.
Is that just because it can control damage and output a good amount on their own end? I mean, what makes it so good against Atani?
So the double, triple stressing, because if you start getting multiple ships in arcs, right? So you got ships, because the Arc 170 can shoot out the front and the back and declare R3A2 on both. Really what you need to do in order to kill Biggs, right, is try to get all your ships shooting at him to be able to burn him down. But then the issue is that you have the Arc 170 can choose who he wants to start shooting. So, you know, Atani with 1 stress at a time is okay. But when you start double stressing things, and if you can start multiple double stressing people, if you have every single one of the Atani ships double stressed, there's going to be a turn without focus. And that's when things can go really bad. It doesn't punch hard. But the goal with it, especially with Captain Rex, is that I'm going to outlast you longer than you outlast me. That's really the big part. And with a lot of Atani running Fen and Tarak, they really need those focus tokens with the variants of the green dice. And those can go pretty fast when you don't have any focus tokens.
I'm actually surprised it's that easy to get multiple ships double stressed.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're taking a ship and just totally disengaging it, which who knows, maybe that's a good idea with this list. But I mean, you want your actions. You want Fenrau to be able to also target lock or also boost, because that's the thing. If you get stuck with a double stress Fenrau and you can't push into range 1 and you're stuck at range 2, you're going to be in a bad spot. You know, you look at the individual pieces and it might not seem that good, but you start putting it all together and you make sure you fly in a nice tight block, It's going to be good. And don't be fooled also. You got to be careful with your asteroid placement and where you engage them, because they can turn the formation, but what they're looking for a nice open lane to really tear you apart, and they're just going to keep to nice open areas. So, yeah, you got to just be careful where you engage them. If you engage them in an open area where they can freely 4K and then just come back at you again, it's going to be bad news.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think of this. And I don't see, like, this is not something, I've flown a version of this, like I said, for fun, just that at pastimes. But I'm trying to figure out how, if I was flying against this, I don't see any of the lists that, you know, whether it's Imperial, Rebel, or Scum, have a minimum of at least 50% chance of winning against this. So I mean, if you're gonna take this, you've got to be, to your point, patient, and you've got to look a few turns ahead, because and maybe that's the whole point of it. It just doesn't scare me. It doesn't scare me at all. Even with some of my janky lists that I take, I would not be, if I saw this on the other side of the board, I probably would be like, okay. It's not a bad list, it's just I would, you know, I got a 50-50 shot no matter what, even with some of the, you know, more unconventional lists. So especially, you know, you've talked this whole time about how it's really good against Mind Link. Well, that really doesn't matter when you're flying other Rebels or when you're flying Imperials. Maybe absolutely. You're flying Imperial Aces. But if you're flying something like, you know, Cannon, you know, the Kaelin Sprite, or if you're flying something like what...
Yes, actually, that's one of the things that was on the tip of my tongue. One of the best lists against something like this is Kanan Biggs, because this list wants to joust. It wants to be engaged in order to do its shenanigans, and Kanan Biggs is all about being disengaged and just trailing range 3 and shooting TLTs.
Yeah, so when it comes to a big tournament like Worlds, that Jerry was able to take this to top 4,
Well, I mean, in all fairness, at Worlds, there was so much of what evidently this list is quote-unquote designed for, Itani.
Yeah, the meta at Worlds was so far heavily swung towards Itani, either torpedo boats or Adventurous or, you know, the old Tarak Fenro. I feel like it's kind of dropped off a little bit at Worlds. Like, I don't know if maybe people are just sick of it and they're like, it's store champions, let's try something different. Because nothing new has come out to change the meta. But I don't know. I mean, you guys have been to all the store championships. You can tell us. But from what I've read, I haven't seen, like, the same percentage of Itani based lists as we saw at Worlds.
No, just the end.
Leave me alone. But if they ever just ban the Jumpmaster, DM will have to use other ships in his collection.
All right. I know we're going to talk about store championships a little bit later, but let me just, I wanted to say something real quick. And yeah. Since I said something and Ron said something, which was both inaccurate, I'll just take this time to say it. So one of the things that really took me aback a little bit, especially this last one that we went to, where did we go? Grognard, I think it was?
Yeah, Grognard Games.
Yeah, it's just the patrons and the listeners coming up and just, you know, really talking about how much they appreciate the podcast, the videos, and all of that. And I just kind of, like, piggyback off your work, you know, your efforts. But one of the things I just want to put out there is I am sorry if I don't remember your name even like 5 minutes after you tell me. I literally am the worst person in the world with names, so please don't take it wrong. I've known Dion for a year and a half and I still get his name wrong.
Like you just did.
Like right now, yeah. Dion?
Dion?
Dion. Okay, I'm sorry. Dion. So, anyway, so if I get your name wrong, I'm sorry. I'm terrible with it, so. But I really appreciate it. And I remember faces, and I'll remember you. I won't remember your name, and I apologize ahead of time.
So I know that, like you guys already stated, that you guys didn't have a lot of experience against this list, but I think it was important to get it out there. People really like the playbook series, and that is something that I'm constantly getting messages about. It's like, oh, when's the next playbook? When's the next playbook? And I wanted to add something in there that I was ready to, ready to
discuss.
To discuss. Yeah. It's something from Worlds that we didn't touch on. And I'm excited to see when our next wave of ships come out to see what lists bubble to the top. And then we'll definitely continue our playbook series and try to dissect what the new big monster is going to be to take down. Awesome, awesome. So we'll continue our playbook series in the future. If there are any specific lists you guys want us to take a look at, I know one that's been popular, and we will get to it. People are asking, how do you beat the World Championship list? How do you beat Dentel? And we will talk about that in the future, for sure. But we're going to move on to store championships. All right, so now we're going to talk about store championships. First, what we'll do is we will take a look at the, as of today, we're recording 3 store championships that have happened. By the time you guys hear this, a fourth will have happened. Maybe I won the 4th store championship, so I add an edit here. I have to be positive.
When is the 4th one?
It's next Saturday.
The 8th?
Yes. TPK okay. Games. So, this is coming out on the 10th, on Monday. But yeah, so let's take a look at what happened. So the first store championship that happened in our area was Top Cut Comics in Berwyn. And we had 2 of our guys in the top 4, but it was won by Josiah Elliott. And Andrea, you want to break down that list for us?
Yeah, so Josiah flew Biggs with R4D6 and Integrated. He flew Captain Rex naked, and then he flew Ray with Expertise, Tactical Jammer, Finn, and Kanan, Jarrus crew. So that came in at 99 points.
And the final was him versus Al Lakatus, one of our Gold Squadron members. And Ron, what was Al flying, his famous list here?
Al, like you, only flies one ship. It's the Decimator. He was flying Rear Admiral Chirinow with Dauntless, Veteran Instincts, Engine Upgrade, Kylo Ren, Rebel Captive, and Gunner, with Countess Ryad, with Juke, TIE X7, Twin Ion Engine, and coming in at 99 points.
Then, third place was myself. I only had one loss, and it was to Al. And I was fine.
Way to go, Al.
Right? Yeah. First Dion, and then Brandon and Lee with those decimators.
Yeah, he's smashing some face. So I flew Manaru with Rig Cargo Chute, Atani, R4 Agromech, Ion Projector, and Intel Agent. And then Fenrau and Old Tarak with Atani, the Tidal, and Auto Thrusters coming in at 96 points. And rounding out the top 4 was Alex Dorf with Kanan Biggs, basically. If you're not familiar with the list, it's Kanan, Pilot with TLT, Ghost Tidal, Fire Control System, Recon, and Finn with a Doc Zeb Shuttle with the Phantom Tidal, and Biggs with M9G8 and Integrated. So, Marcel, take a look at these lists and what do you see? Gesticulate for me.
Wait, did you say testiculate?
No, I said gesticulate, okay. But sure. Go ahead.
Let's cut that out. I thought we were going to PG
show. Okay. Well, you know, let's put you aside for a second. I see Biggs twice. And I was not at this one. I was at the next two that we're going to talk about. But, yeah, I mean, Biggs and followed up with something else.
With some chunk.
Some chunk, yeah. I mean, it's basically Biggs protecting the hitter is the common theme here. Al is going to show up a couple more times here. He's been hitting he's been doing the rounds. Al is a Gold Squadron member who's been really good for a really long time. And he is just like Tyler Tippett with the Phantom. Al with the Decimator has been flying the Decimator since forever. I mean, he's flying. If he can get 5 Decimators on the board, he would.
Yeah, he would.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't really see... You know, more than anything, what I see here is that there is no Worlds meta. There is no Regionals meta here. You know, people are coming out and bringing out their fun stuff. Outside of Kennen, you know, what is it, Kennen's Pride? Outside of Kennen's Pride.
It's very similar, not quite, but very similar.
Or a version of Kennen's Pride. Outside of Kennen Biggs, which I've seen a lot of, I really haven't seen I haven't seen a single Triple Jump Masters. I don't know if there was any at this particular one. I haven't seen a lot of a tiny mind link lists outside of somebody, Mr. Morales flying them. So yeah, I just think it's a really fun time to be playing X-Wing in general, because you don't know what you're gonna run into.
I wonder why. I mean, maybe like Ron said, maybe people are just kind of sick of the triple jumps ish or a Tani thing, because it's just been so prevalent for so long. But there's nothing that's happened since Worlds
What happened since Worlds, in my opinion, and you know the reason why I flew at the next one that we're going to talk about, which I didn't do so well, 2-2, why I flew Guri with no title or anything on there. I think the big thing is just people are burned out. We had North American, then we had Nationals, then we had Worlds, then we had Regionals, then we had the System Open, then we had Worlds again, and all of those people are ultra competitive for. And I think people are just tired and they just want to fly something. You know, this is their time to go out and have a little bit of fun, get a little creative.
I agree with you 100%. Like, I was thinking about this the other day, like, and it's only because of the flip on the, you know, they're trying to flip X-Wing to a summer schedule, and then, you know, the other track will be a winter schedule. Yeah, I think just going through all that, you know, Regionals to Worlds, I think now that there's store championships, I think we have, what, 13, 14 of them in Illinois. A lot of the competitive people are like, man, I'm a little burned out. I'm just going to go and play something fun. Like, I mean, if I go to one of these store championships, my plan is not going to be to take a medalist from Worlds. I'm going to just fly something I want to have fun in. If I win, great. If I don't, I'm just going to play X-Wing. And I think a lot of people are taking that approach personally.
I have one goal during. I'm going to fly. I mapped out my, you know, how many I can actually make. I think I can make 6 store championships in total. And my goal is not to fly the same list twice during all 6. So
mine too. Once I win one.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure you're going to have played all this with the same list and all of these.
Okay, here is my promise.
I'm pretty sure that you have already violated your rule.
Okay, listen. Here is my promise to you guys and the listeners, okay?
Okay.
If I win a store championship, Before I'm done going to store championships, I will not play a Jumpmaster at all in my list for the rest of them.
Will it just be Ventress and Fenrau?
Leave me alone. How about this? I will play at least, if we have enough, I'll play at least one Imperial and at least one Rebel and no Jumpmasters.
That's what I was going to say. We have to make fair. You switch factions. That's what we have
fair.
To do.
Is that fair? Is that fair?
That's fair.
Okay.
You know, you just have all these pretty ships. I'd hate to see them just collect dust. I'd like, you know, to see other ones being used.
For sure. All right, guys. Let's take a look at our next Star Championship here. We had the Wandering Dragon. So our winner was whom, Ron?
Nicholas Tobin. If our listeners don't know who Nicholas is, he's actually a really good player. I'm pretty sure I had to face off against him in, I don't know, some kind of tournament a while back. And we're talking a while back. He was running Brobots, so this is like, I think, when the Ghost first came out. But it was fun. He was also the regional winner at Pastimes. And he flew, for regionals, I'm pretty sure he flew the Pablo Attani. He was one of the first people that I think made that change.
Yeah, he beat me in the final.
Yeah, he beat you, and you were tearing it up too.
Yeah, I was steamrolling everyone that day.
Yeah, you were.
And then all of a sudden, Nick came in and just took me out.
Yeah, in the finals. Nick's a great player. I always enjoy playing games with him. He was running Miranda Donnie with Auto Blaster Turret, Extra Munitions, Plasma Torpedo, Guidance Chips, Cluster Mines, Ion Bombs, and Ray. Then he had Biggs Darklighter with R4-D6 and Integrated, and Jess Pava with Pattern Analyzer, M9-G8, and Integrated Astromech. It's very familiar.
Yeah, that was the list of our 2017 runner-up and 2016 world champion, Nantorfs.
Nantorfs.
Same exact list.
Yeah, I always, you know, that list, I got to go back and watch some of Nan's games. That list looks really interesting to me, but it looks really hard to play.
Yeah, it's really good. We have him playing two times on our stream. So I think you can watch him play it a total of three times. We have the two that we recorded and the one that FFG recorded.
Yeah, no, I definitely got to watch it. I really didn't. Unfortunately, one of the side effects of judging Worlds and judging four different games at Worlds, not just X-Wing, I actually didn't get to watch many games unless I was actually head judging the game on stream or something.
And then let's take a look at our next list. Andrea, who was our runner-up?
It was Nate Moore, one of our other Gold Squadron guys. He was flying a Gold Squadron Y-Wing spam list. So it was two Gold Squadrons with TLT, and then two Gold Squadrons with TLT, as well as bomb loadout and seismic charges.
So
What's the name for the four spam Y-Wing for the Rebels? I mean, obviously it's not like, so the Scum has Thug Life, where it's the four. What's the Gold Squadron pilot version of Thug Life?
Gold Squadron something.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll work on that.
Yeah. The question is, did he have four Gold Squadron promos for his Y-Wings?
He had two out of he had our regional Y-Wing, he had our podcast Y-Wing, and two of the FFG official ones.
Ah, failure.
Yeah.
Should have been two Gold Squadron podcast ones and two Gold Squadron regional ones.
Yeah, get good.
Calling Nate out.
I don't know if Nate could have gotten two of the regionals ones.
Oh, he absolutely did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember what we gave out. It's been too long.
Well, I will tell you that when people saw this 4TLT list across the mat, they were filled with glee and happiness and excitement.
Because they thought they were going to smash it?
No, that's completely sarcastic, because people were like, shit, TLTs.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, 4TLT spam is still a thing. It's always going to be a thing. Especially if Jumps and Itani is kind of falling by the wayside. I mean, TLTs are just good.
Yeah, TLTs will always be good as long as they exist.
Yeah, as long as there isn't a card change, they're going to be super efficient damage.
Yeah, I mean, obviously when there's not a plethora of torpedoes and bombs to just one-shot them off the board, it's less good, but if that's not there, it's always solid.
And then, Marcel, we follow that with a third place Gabriel Rasmussen. What did he fly?
A triple defender list. Two Delta Squadrons with X7 and Stealth Device, and Marique Steele with Expertise X7 and Twin Ion Engines. Pretty interesting list. It's the only thing I can say about this is it's store championships. I don't see why you would take Marique over Ryad in any situation, other than
just store to do champs.
Yeah.
Well, and doing the stealth device with the deltas,
I mean, that's 6 points. I can take them out to do it 6 points.
I mean, defenders don't really need this stealth device for the most part. But, I mean, yeah, go for it. Why not?
Well, I will say that Nick Tobin's top four game before the final was against Gabriel. And it was a nail-biter for Nick. Nick barely won that game. Hmm. The stealth devices did some work against his Biggs and Jess. Obviously, with the auto blaster, stealth device doesn't matter. And he was able to luckily get some control elements with the ion bombs. And that was the ion bomb is what saved him and was able to win in the game. But yeah, so definitely it was a tough list to take down. Interesting choice with the stealth device for sure. But why not? Four dice plus focus evade every turn? Why not?
Yeah, it's just always, you know, a gamble. All you have to do is roll bad once, and it's like, damn, just wasted all those points. But
yeah, for sure. We finish out with Dan Camino. He was the TO for the event, ran a great event. Thanks for doing that, Dan. And he flew a Imperialist. He had quick draw with expertise, special ops training, targeting synchronizer, fire control system, and lightweight frame. Then Omega Leader with Juke, Comm Relay, and Backdraft with Adaptability, Special Ops Training, Targeting Synchronizer, Fire Control System, and Lightweight Frame. So I played against Dan, and it was a really close match, and it came down to this one turn where I went for a block, and I missed it by a millimeter. He was able to just barely get past. And I was banking on him. I'm not doing it. And my ships were out of position. My protectorates were at range, got stuck at range two, and it was like, oh crap, and they died. A horrible, horrible death.
That happens. It sucks when you miss that block.
Yep. It sure does. But the idea here with having backdraft and quick draw with targeting synchronizer is that Omega Leader never has to spend her target lock, but is able to use, because he flies them in formation, the Omega Leader is able to use the target locks from the other two ships to modify her attack dice, which Omega Leader almost never gets to do. Because usually you're just saving that to prevent people from modifying their defense dice when Omega Leader is attacking. Really good ship. Expertise, you know, does work when quick draw gets to fire twice in a turn. And then once all those target locks are out there, being able to just cycle them and making sure that all your ships have target lock focus every turn, it can definitely push out some damage. A really, really good list there. And that does come in at 100 points.
It seems like another store championship list. Getting a little cutesy with targeting synchronizer and everything. I'm all for it. Switch it up.
Targeting synchronizer is good. It's very good.
I love targeting synchronizer with with some bombers or punishers. Just fun. Fire control system.
Yep. Any thoughts on that run? On the let's talk about the top four as a whole. Any thoughts, anything that stands out to you? Just gesticulate for me.
What I see are good players who are running lists that are honestly just good enough. It definitely seems like people are just flying what they want to fly. Out of all these lists, Nan Torst list seems really good. The quick draw list seems actually pretty good. I mean, they all seem good. I mean, there's not much to... It's hard to get a good picture of the whole tournament after only seeing four lists. I'm familiar with some of the players, so I just know they're good players. So,
did we mention the players that were for this one? Was there 20...
22.
Okay.
It's a good turnout.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that this top four is missing is Gurry.
Jumps. Yeah. Johnny.
Yeah. Gurry.
And the only reason that Gurry is not there is because somebody named Dion, who went 1-3, to take his one win against Gurry, which was...
How rude.
Yeah, that was rude.
So rude.
You go 1-3, and the only win is you take Gurry out of the top four.
Listen. That's tabled you, and I'm going to hold on to that.
He did table me, too.
Does that mean you get templates?
Yeah, I got my great templates. I have them.
Yeah. But he took, he kept me out of top four because he tabled me.
You got to earn it, bro.
It's Gurry. You don't need to earn it. You just... 95 points, Gurry.
Yeah, you were at 95 points.
I was at 95. Oh, well. No, but I do want to say something about this particular store championship in particular. You know, one of the things is that I really like this. I don't know if you've ever been to, who listening has been to Wandering Dragon. They have one of the best stores around. Everything's like a mahogany oak. They've got all these little private rooms where if you want to play Imperial Assault or you want to do Heroes of the Imperial Cluster, they just have a really nice setup where you get a lot of private rooms to, you know, to do your own thing with, setting up your own games. Now, they do get a bad rep here in Chicago. I'm not going to say names, and I've been one of them who I've had issues with ownership there in the past. But all in all, I mean, you know, you got to give it up to them because, A, they have a great store, and B, yes, they have some rules that are not the norm within other game stores, but the people that follow their rules, they take care of their people really well. They take care of their players, and their players are really happy to represent the store. So again, they may not be conventional in what people would expect from a gaming store, but they take care of their people and they run really good events, and aesthetically they have one of the prettiest stores out there. I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, it was definitely a beautiful store, really pretty. And big thank you to them for allowing us to go and record. And that's another thing that we've mentioned before, just in case you're new, you're listening to the cast here. Every single one of these store championships that we're talking about, we went and recorded, and all the games are being uploaded to YouTube. So we have some really good matches being documented. It's awesome. So then we move on here to Grognard Games in Roselle, Illinois. And that was a couple days ago from when we were recording. It was on June 24th. And we see some familiar faces here. In the top four, after Swiss, so make sure you guys look at how I accidentally forgot to sort it here in our lists. And if you guys look at the championship rankings, So, first place at the Grognard Games Store Championship was Ben Herrera. Congratulations, Ben. And not only is Ben... I'm going to start that over again. So let's take a look at the Grognard Games Store Championship. Coming in first place, congratulations to Ben Herrera. Ben Herrera is actually one of our patrons, guys.
Yeah, he's played at Pastimes.
Yeah, he's played at Pastimes before.
Does really this count as an all Gold Squadron top four then?
I said it was.
I think so.
I think so.
I think that counts. Woot woot.
That's right. So we went in and took it down. So I did play Ben in the first round of Swiss, and he beat me by 7 points. And I was really hoping to play him in the final. I didn't get to do that. We'll talk about that later. But he flew the following list. He flew Nora Wexley with, mind you, our awesome alternate art card. Okay.
Nice.
He flew Nora Wexley with the title, Push the Limit, Vector Thrusters, R2-D2, and Kyle Katarn. He then also had a Wes Jansen with Veteran Instincts, R3-A2, and Integrated Astromech, and rounded it out with Jess Pava with Prime Thrusters, R2 Astromech, and Integrated Astromech.
Man, Wes Jansen made an appearance? Well, how long has it been since he made a competitive appearance?
Well, here is the advantage that he has, and I think this is the reason why Ben brought him. He's good against a couple things. Stress is good against Itani, so that's just kind of an R3-A2 is thrown in there for that. But the number one thing that I think this is in there for is for Expertise Dengar, which there were quite a few at that tournament. I didn't get a chance to ask him if he played against an Expertise Dengar, but because Wes is at pilot skill 10, he can take his shot, R3-A2, turn off Expertise, and now that focus that Dengar took for defense, or the target lock that he now has, he only has one of his mods. You know, he will not be able to use Expertise. So, really good tech there. Mm-hmm. My mistake in the game that I played against him and is I went at Wes Jansen hard. I was like, I got to get that stress thing out of here. And I killed Wes, and I killed Jess, and at the end it was Fenrau versus a full health Nora Wexley with regen. I was never able to... Yeah, I did like, you know, one damage at a time, and he's got old regen, you know. Mm-hmm. It was frustrating, and I was, you know, slapping myself in the forehead for leaving the regen ship for last.
But, for sure, you should have left Wes for less.
Yep. Yeah, I'm a fool, especially...
I'm sorry, that guy still sucks.
I can see being cutesy with the PS10 and then giving someone a stress and then Q2 Expertise, take off a target lock. I get it. But again, it's just all same story of
paying way too many points to do that.
Yeah, and it's people playing lists that are not even meta 1.5. They're like meta 2.0.
Nora's really good.
Yeah, Nora.
Oh, Nora's sure.
good. Jess is good, but Wes Jansen blows.
This is what this list does well. And this is probably my favorite part of X-Wing, is what this list does well, which is target priority. It messes with your brain on who should you target first. You come at this and you're like, well, if I start poking away at Nora, she's just going to regenerate and everybody else is going to kill me. If I start going at Jess, everybody's going to, you know, he's going to reroll. She's going to reroll, blah, blah, blah. Let me go after Wes Jansen, giving me stress because it's annoying. So you take all that time going after Wes. And then you're left with Nora and Jess. And then you're thinking, well, Jess, you know, I can get rid of Jess because it's not going to regenerate. And you end up in the scenario where you have Nora as the final ship, and on a one-on-one situation, Nora's not going to lose many matches. Nora will, you know, kit it out the way it's kitted out. She's kitted out. She's not going to lose almost never. And if it goes to time, that's an expensive ship. You're basically taking out the cheap ships to get stuck with Nora at the end. That's the same scenario that you end up a lot of the time when people fly the Miranda list. They'll take everything out except Miranda. So while it may not be a, you know, if you play against this list five times, you'll figure it out and you'll probably beat it every time. But coming at it at the first time, and we saw it in the final match against Brandon, it's just that target priority messes with your brain so bad, and you just make bad choices against it because you're not, you know, it's unorthodox and you don't know what to do, and you go against the easy stuff first instead of really thinking about who's going to kill you at the end.
Yeah, I mean, you're totally right on that. Yeah, I mean, obviously, again, we're seeing the same thing, though, with all these tournaments. The one thing they have in common is good players are still winning tournaments regardless of the list.
True.
Yep. And, man, I was so ready to play Ben in the finals. Like, Ben, I'm coming for Nura, hardcore, range one, and just wipe it off the board and win me a store championship. But I couldn't get past Brandon.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Brandon because you haven't talked about Brandon.
Yeah, so let's go. Number two, what's his list, Marcel?
So, and I didn't even figure this out until I was commentating on the Twitch. So Brandon is flying a Lothal, not Kennen, but a Lothal DCX with Twin Laser Turret, the Tidal, Tactical Jammer, Fire Control System, Ray, and not Recon Spec, but Lebo. How many times have you seen Lebo as a crew on anything?
I mean, not since Ron not won his first store championship.
Second store championship, but no. Yeah.
Yeah. And Doc, he's got Zeb. So that sounds a little bit familiar. You know, it's, you've got Lothal instead of Kennen, but it sounds a little familiar. But here's the part that everyone is going to appreciate. And you've got a support ship with an M9G8, which is the one that you get to target lock a friendly ship to get them the rerolls. But it's not Biggs. It's not even an X-Wing. We have our long-lost friend, Horton Sound, with a twin laser turret.
I think that's a typo. I think it's supposed to be Horton Slam.
I don't know, what's it?
Horton Slam. Wait.
It's Psalm. It's Psalm.
No, it is Psalm.
Is this Psalm?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It sounds cooler, Horton Slam, though.
Yeah. But, I think everybody just does Horton Slam because...
You know, I've been listening to... I forgot which podcast it is. I think it's the Minox. Somebody keeps talking about Horton and how Horton's... I started playing about a year and a half ago, so I don't remember like the good old days of Horton or why everybody loves Horton, but...
There was never any good old days. Don't let it fool you.
So Horton was always bad?
Yeah.
Okay. So
both... He was always bad without an EPT. It was always frustrating.
So, you know, but I've heard a lot of Horton. I've never really seen him on the board with anything competitive. And right here we have Brandon really just coming out with, you know, again, while I was talking about it in the stream, I honestly thought he was just flying a variation of Kennen Biggs, but as I started looking at everything that he's got, I mean, this is just...
jank.
Yeah, and it's like, it's creative, and he's got rerolls on all four shots of the Lothal TLT, and he's got rerolls on the Wyvern TLT, and he's got, you know, he's putting out basically 6 damage a turn. And he's got a lot of health, and it's just such a creative list. I mean, you know, I've always liked Brandon. You know, he's always been one of the best players at Gold Squadron. But I think, in my opinion, this is like his best list building he's done. It's just so creative. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Marcel, were you playing when TLTs first came out?
No. I started playing with when the movie Force Awakens came out.
Okay, so when TLTs like first came out, there was an article by... I can't think of his name. Oh, well, I'm going to botch the guy's name. But Theorist did an article about, you know, what's going to be the new thing with that wave. And one of his predictions was that Horton's Slam was finally, or Psalm, was finally going to be a part of the metagame because he could put TLT on him, and then he gets the rerolls, and it's going to be awesome. Obviously, it didn't really happen that way. Horton's still too expensive. It's just better to put a TLT on a generic Y-Wing. But as soon as I saw the Horton plus TLT, I kind of laughed because it was the first thing I thought about was that theorist article.
And now we are in the Horton Saul meta, baby.
No, I think this was the best final. I mean, and it was a relatively large. I mean, not large. I mean, it was a good size. It was about 30 people or something in there. And you have Wes Jensen on one side against Horton Saul on the other.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's just a great final. And they played it really well. I think. You know, while we were commentating, Dion.
Thank you. You can just say it in Spanish. I'm okay with that.
Okay, Dion. Dion?
Yeah.
All right. Dion. You know, D-Balls and I. So D-Balls and I were commentating, and we noticed two specific times where Brandon could probably turn things around. But still, it's just such... I don't know. I was excited. Everybody was excited just to see Horton and Wes on the final. It was awesome.
It was just exciting to see Rebel Jank versus Rebel Jank.
Yeah, I mean, it really was awesome. And I actually flew something kind of meta-ish. I flew Dengar Tell, not Justin's list, but my version of it with Painbot and a couple other stuff. Dion. flew Atani's things, and Al flew the things he's been flying for a long time. And there was, I think, we had either six Canon Biggs lists. I mean, there was a
bunch. Oh, yeah, there was tons of them.
Yeah, I think there was a total of like 10 VCX altogether. But out of all of that, what ended up coming up to the top was Horton and Wes.
Yeah. Real quick, quick shout out to John Babcock. He was one of the players who was playing Kanan Biggs, and we talked about it. I annihilated him. Right after we did the Kanan Biggs, if you guys remember, we did a Kanan Biggs playbook. He messaged me and he's like, "Dude, this is what I've been playing. How dare you put this out?" You know, jokingly, right? And then we got paired up, and he's playing Kanan Biggs. He just kind of goes, "Oh shit."
Fair enough.
Yeah, it was a fun match.
Nice.
For me.
Yeah, fair enough.
So rounding out that top four at Grognard Games, we had me coming in with the same list I had before, coming in at third, and Al coming in at fourth. Quick note here, Al did go 5-0 in Swiss.
Wow. Good for him. 5-0 in Swiss. Yep. Good job, buddy.
Yep. Very good.
Yeah, he needs to stick with Riera Channel now and Countess Riot.
All right, so Al can stay with his ship. Okay, whatever. Anyway, we're going to move on. All right, so one thing I did before... So that's all the store championship data we have in our area, in the Chicagoland area. What I wanted to do was take some time and look at store championships that have gone on so far. Kind of take a look at how many... What are the top pilots right now? This is using the data from every store championship that has been input into List Juggler. And now, for some store championships, some people are just putting in the top four. So take mind that some of these numbers might not be perfect, but it does, with so many store championships having been reported, it does give us some really solid data. And if you look at our table here, the top pilot... And this is a total of 63 tournaments that he has been a part of and 182 different squads. And mind you, how many store championships have happened in our area? Three. You could think there's been about three in most big city areas. And then plus that have been reported is Fen Rao coming in at, 182 different squads reported with Fen Rao in it. Rounding Coming in second, second most popular pilot, we have now on the Imperial side, we have Quick Draw with 114 appearances. And then we have a Rebel ship coming in here third. I'm sure you guys can guess who it is. It's Biggs in 111 different squads. So, you know, interesting data here. I'm going to publish this chart with our show notes. But if you kind of look down here, down the list, I posted the top 24 ships. You know, still in the hundreds, you have Asajj with 107 appearances, Dengar 103, very scum heavy throughout the reported sword championships. And then we start getting a little bit more diversity when we get to like 7 through 10. We start adding in Miranda with 95 appearances, Omega Leader 77, Rear Admiral Cherenu with 72. So it looks like definitely still scum heavy. But,
I don't think so. I don't know why you're calling it. I mean, I'm just reading here. I'm sorry.
You're good.
Don't mean to call you out, but okay, we got Fen Rao.
Yeah.
We got Asajj, Dengar, and Contracted Scout. And those are the only four scum until you get to number 18.
Yeah, but those are also, if you add those together, that's, you know, nearly 500 squadrons. Relative to any other faction, it's not going to be that amount. Even though those are all just effectively in the top. And then you're right, we don't see another
out of the first, you know, four out of the top 16. So that's 25% out of the top 16 are scum ships.
It just drops off so significantly in number.
So I'm gonna go a little bit to the left here and say that it's not a scum heavy meta, because it's a.
Can I say that it's scum leaning?
There's a few specific ships that just completely dominate scum, because you don't see any K fighters, you don't see any, starfighters, the G whatever they are.
G18. Yeah.
G18. So you don't see any, you know. Anything. You just see Protectorate, the Lancer, and the Jumpmaster, and that is it. You don't see anything else.
That's also because all those ships can take a Tiny Mindling, too. That's right. Another reason you see them.
You can put the Tiny Mindling on the Seek. You can put the Tiny Mindling on the Starfighter. You can put a Tiny Mindling on the K-Fighter.
People aren't going to...
I think it's just that the scum have very limited options to be competitive. And the things that they do have to be competitive are a little overpowered.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a true statement. The options that they do have are just far and away better than the rest of the pool.
Yeah, so just doing some quick math, like with the top 16 of these guys, so like that I was about right that the scum was coming in like just under 500 instances, and then imps was next probably at about 450, and then rebels was about 400, so it's still leaning towards scum for sure. It's not as prevalent as it was like at Worlds, where at least two-thirds of the field was scum, so that's nice to see a little bit of a pullback from that. But they're obviously still a lot of the same ships that were prominent at Worlds are still in the top five.
And I would say locally, we're seeing a rise in Rebels, I think, quite a bit. There's a lot of Rebel play showing up in store championships. And we can kind of segue into this. One thing I'm liking that I'm seeing is, especially at Grognard games, and you could talk about it, Marcel, too, is I saw a lot of new players and kind of like what might be considered middle tier players. Like, hey, I know I'm not the best, but I'm coming to try to become better and see what it is to play at high level tournament, and, you know, still flying casual, but seeing some of the higher level players play. It was really cool to see all the different levels of players there, and with most people being really positive, and you know, if they lost, it was a learning experience. It was really cool.
That's great.
I think another thing too, it's interesting to see a lot of those players that you're talking about. Those I'm not going to call them mid-level players because they're not mid-level players. They're, you know, skill. I mean, you can have somebody play for 5 years and, you know, just never get past a certain point, and then you have other people that, you know, within the first 2 or 3 months of playing are just killing it. So it's not, let's just call them newer players.
But, sure, yeah, that's fine. That's
but fair. Some of the newer players, one of the things that was interesting for me to see this past weekend was just to see how much they actually research and pay attention to not just what we're doing and saying here at Gold Squadron, but the Minox and everybody else, and then looking at the videos, because a lot of these players are coming out with, you know, quote unquote medalists, and they're trying to either fly the medalists the way they've seen on video, and they're trying to mimic a little bit, or they're trying to tweak, you know, they're looking at what worked and they're trying to tweak it a little bit. You know, just right now while we're recording this, just maybe like 3 minutes ago, I got a message from Sony at Grognard, who is basically asking me about the Tell and Vanguard list. His name's Zach, and just, you know, trying to tweak it a little bit. He's only been playing for a couple months, and he's asking for advice on, you know, just on a couple of the tweaks that he's thinking about. And it's just really interesting to see how, you know, a lot of the content that's being put out on video and on podcasts is really shaping, you know, the new players and how they come at games, at the game. So I don't know. I just thought it's pretty interesting to see the impact of, you know, as this game gets more popular and more out there and more content starts coming out, it just influences the newer players and gets them up to speed a lot quicker.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, when you and I, Marcel, came into the game, it was very limited resources for this kind of stuff, and you know, with what we're doing with the podcast and what everybody else content is coming out, it really, I think any newer player coming into the game has a great, you know, stepping stone. And you know, just a little note here, if you're a newer player or any player honestly, and you have a question for any of us on the podcast, message us. Like, we're here to help. We'll help tweak your list and stuff like that. We have no problem with that. We'll give you guys advice or answer your questions. Not a problem. That's what we're here to do, and we want to make sure everybody learns how to play this game and learn how to play well.
Do you live in the Chicagoland area or plan on visiting? Come on down to Pastimes Comics and Games, the home of Gold Squadron, where we play X-Wing every Wednesday and have tournaments the first Sunday of every month. We also play Imperial Assault, Armada, LCG, and Destiny on different days. Visit our Facebook page, Pastimes Star Wars, for more information.
All right, guys, so we're going to answer some more of our listener questions that were submitted a couple weeks ago. We're going to start here with a couple of, you know, serious questions and end with three not as serious questions. We're going to start with a question from Justin Brown. His question is, what is your thought on the current best Imperial ship / pilot and the state of the Imperial faction? His comment here is, I don't think Imperials are as bad a shape as I originally thought. Who wants to go first? Go for it.
Let me some Imperials. So I agree. I don't think they're in as bad a shape as people say they are. I think what's going on is, you know, again, since we had that, you know, we talked about it a couple minutes ago, since we had that stretch of going from, you know, System Open to the North American, the National, and then to the Worlds, and then to Regionals, and then to the System Open again. And, you know, since we had that really long stretch where the, you know, the ultra competitive players, the ones that travel around and go everywhere, and are looking for that, just that one little inch to get above other players who are at the same skill level at those really marquee events. What happens is, if there is a very small margin between one list and another, or one faction and another faction, they're going to go with the faction that's going to give them the best choice, the best chance to win. And I think that's what, that's ultimately what happened, is that, you know, the, some of the main players like, you know, Duncan Howard and Paul Heaver, last year's Worlds, they went to the faction that gave them that little bit of an edge to get above. And when you have the best players in the world going with one faction, it's going to give the impression that that faction is just, you know, head and shoulders above everything else. When in reality is, if you take those players with that skill level to fly other lists, and you take players with a little bit less skill level flying the scum list, it would completely look a lot different. So I don't think the Imperials are as bad as they were made out to be with the regionals and some of the last tournaments. It's just that the players, when you know the main players, when you're getting to that world championship level, they're looking for that, you know, that 10% variance, you know, that 10% chance difference to get them that final jump over somebody else. And I mean, yeah, I mentioned, you know, Heaver and both Howard brothers, but also, you know, look at Kevin Lights. Kevin Lights made last year with, you know, with Miranda and Corrin. He loves Miranda Corrin. He loves Corrin, period. Yet, during this Worlds, he made the top 16 with Itani and Scum. I mean, it's not that the other lists are worse. It's just some of the best players are trying to get that little bit of an edge to stay in the game, you know, to stay competitive against other players of the same level. But when you're going, if you're just looking across the board at all the tech and all of the lists that are available, there's really not that big of a gap as people think it is. If you fly a list right, and you're comfortable with it, and you know its strengths and its weaknesses, you're gonna do fine. I mean, look at Tyler Tippett. Look at Nan Torps with, you know, making the final table with Rebel Jank, and look at the store championships we just talked about. If you're a good player, you know the strengths and weaknesses of your own list, you're gonna do fine. And so I completely agree with this. The Imperials aren't that bad. The Imperials are pretty good. It's just you got to get comfortable with them. You got to understand where they're good, where they're bad, and practice.
All right, Marcel. So what do you think is the best Imperial ship currently?
Quick Draw, without question. For me, personally.
Ron?
I agree it's Quick Draw at the moment, but I think things will change soon.
Andrea?
I don't really know. I haven't played enough competitive recently to really make a huge... I mean, I guess Omega Leader's always a ship I see a lot that can kind of impede people's ability to push damage through. So go with that.
And I'm just going to say the SF as a whole. One of the lists that I played at the Wandering Dragon Store Championship and that I lost to was a triple PS5. I think it's the Zeta Specialist or Omega Specialist, whatever it is, the PS5 ones. Three of those with Crackshot, Lightweight Frame, Accuracy Corrector, and Sensor Cluster, I think is what it was. And it was really hard to put damage through, and he was doing consistent, you know, two dice with Accuracy Corrector. And it was hard. So I think the SF has some room to grow. We've recognized that Quick Draw is good, but I think the other ships in the SF are really, or the other pilots in the SF are really good. And one thing that I know that a lot of Imperial, you know, fanboys and fangirls are really kind of are struggling with is, it is a reality that competitively, the identity, like the faction identity, has changed for Imperials. Push to limit aces are not what Imperials need to be competitive right now. If you realize, if you take a look in the top results in all these tournaments, you're not hearing the word, you're not hearing push to limit anywhere. Like, nobody's running push to limit right now. Big reason is because of Asajj Ventress. Because with push to limit aces, you will never do damage against Asajj. Or very, very, very little. She'll kill you first. But yeah, so that's an Imperial answer. I hope that suffices for you, Justin. I also realized, this is jumping back to earlier, I've been using the word gesticulate completely wrong. So, anyway, so we're going to move on. Whatever. The next one is a question from Cody Soli. Andrea, you want to read that question for us?
Yeah. So, always felt TLTs are cheap and somewhat game-breaking, yet you have to use them in a lot of builds to keep up. Also, I think they reinforce people to just IndyCar around the mat and not actually fly. What do you guys think? 100% agree. TLT spam, definitely. You just kind of fly around in a circle and shoot things, and it doesn't matter how you fly. You just always shoot and consistently put through decent damage, better than anything else really in the game. I think TLTs are a little bit of, let's kind of say, a symptom of power creep a little bit within the game, because I think TLTs came to fruition at the time large base ships were the prominent meta list, and TLTs were kind of a counter to that to help punch through damage on those big turreted ships, because small ships had a really hard time of punching through enough consistent damage to deal with those large base turrets. So I think that's kind of where TLTs came in. Unfortunately, they're not only a counter to that, they're just such consistent damage output, they're a hard counter to just about anything. So now we're kind of getting to a point where TLTs might have been designed a little bit as a counter to large base turreted ships, but now we're trying to design things that are a little bit of a counter to TLT, and now we're just continuing to power creep. And I don't know that there's really a good solution, but it is what it is.
Ron?
Yeah, Andrew's right. When TLTs came out, they were intended to be a constant source of damage against large base ships, and they were meant really for small base ships to carry these things. And the thought was, well, these small base ships will carry these things, that'll bring them back into the meta, and they will take down the big base ships. The unfortunate consequence is they are also really good at killing any kind of super defensive ace ship as well, like Sutrafel and those kind of things. I think that they are a little bit too good. I think they can be eroded personally, and probably think they should be. I think simply adding a text on the card that would say, treat this attack as a primary attack, so that at range 1 you can't shoot, at range 2 you get the full benefit, but at range 3 you're giving your opponent that extra defense die. I think that makes them a little more skillful of a card design, and maybe a little bit more in line with their cost of 6 points and constant damage. That's my opinion.
I like that. Yeah. I think with the way it currently works, I think it's undercosted, and with all the things you guys said. So, Marcel, any extra thoughts there?
I never thought about the thing that Ron just said. I mean, that would be a really interesting way to put it. It forces the TLT player to try to play the range game and stay at range 2 to get that consistent damage output, because at range 3, you know, you're gonna be struggling to put damage through with the extra agility. So that would be a great fix. I was thinking of an errata as well, one that's been put out there a lot. which is just put a little circle in front of the word twin laser turret to make it unique. You know, I think the, I don't think TLT is a problem. I think TLT spam is a problem. And for the, all the reasons that Andrea said, it's just, it, I don't like anything in this game that promotes lack of skill. That's not even the right way of putting it.
Lack of thinking.
No, it's okay to say that. I mean, it's easy mode, though. Yeah. It shouldn't say lack of skill. It's just easy mode. Yeah. It's easier.
Like, I like that you have to think about what you're going to do instead of just being like, well, I know what I'm going to do the entire match before I even start playing it. It's like, no, you have to, you know, I like the aspect of X-Wing that you have to adjust your game plan based on what your opponent is doing, and you're going to keep changing, and it's going to be a constant mind game between you and your opponent. But when you have lists out there that are basically going to say, no, I'm going to do the same thing no matter what, I don't care where you put the rocks, I don't care what you're flying, I'm just going to do the same thing over and over again. That's why I'm not a big fan of castling and other things as well. It's just, you know, I like the thinking aspect of this game, and I do agree with Cody that, you know, TLT kind of takes away from all of that.
Yeah, that's why I like adding this whole treat as a primary, because I don't think I'd have the problem if you, you know, made me think, even me playing a TLT, like if you made me think about what range band I want to be fighting in. I think that would kind of solve some of the spam TLTs, because even with you making it unique, right, you're still going to have Miranda flying around with a TLT just anywhere they go. They're just going to shoot you and get that consistent damage in. But now if Miranda has to think about being range 2 or range 3, I think it makes it more interesting of a card, personally. I'm all about abilities like you, where the ability makes you fly and have positioning. And I think that's the whole core of the game. And I think where we've run into issues on stuff that people think are broken or whatnot, is it's the abilities that don't lend itself to the core pillars of the game, which is flying, positioning, actions, that kind of thing.
Great. So let's look at our next three questions here. They're a little bit shorter. Nick Chaplin asks, what is your favorite pilot card artwork? So not alternate art from, because I know our alternate arts are the best, right? I have to say. They are the best.
I don't know. I have a favorite alternate art. Okay.
You shut your mouth, sir. Okay. So, and I'm gonna put a caveat on this. Let's talk about what's your favorite art from, not even alternative art from FFG, like just like your standard pilot cards. Which one do you just think looks super cool?
I guess I can go first. I actually, not that it's super special, but I really like the Ahsoka Tano TIE Fighter Captured TIE artwork, because it's a little bit of an homage to the show Rebels, with that, like, this the spiraling smoke behind the ship. That's part of, like, from season one of Rebels, they do a little Easter egg of the rubble symbol in like the tailwind of the smoke, just like that. So I like that they incorporated that little Easter egg from the show onto the card art. I think that's cool.
Marcel? Ron?
Oh.
Marcel doesn't know yet. This is what that meant.
No, that's fine. Actually, you know what? My favorite one is actually the PS4 Phantom, was it the Shadow Squadron pilot? Is that correct?
Yeah.
No idea.
I've literally never actually played it. What's the PS4 one? Or is it PS6? I'm sorry.
I think it's PS5.
You have to edit this out.
This is fine.
It's the one with the blue
Shadow Squadron pilot.
PS4. Yeah, Shadow Squadron. Yeah, so my favorite art in the game is actually the Shadow Squadron pilot, the for the Phantom. It's one of the middly grade pilots, so doesn't get played, but I think the art's sweet. I like the. I've seen a couple of people that have done paint jobs where they've made that match that paint scheme, and it looks really awesome.
Yeah, that's a sweet one. I just looked it up. That's a pretty cool one. Marcel?
So I just took a peek at my folder. I gotta say, the PS9 Pro, I like it. Just the black one. It's an action shot from, you know, mimicking the movie, and it represents exactly what X-Wing is supposed to be. It's a memorable ship as part of a memorable list flown by a memorable pilot in a game that we play. It's an awesome card. And I do have an alt one that I like. I love the Paul Heaver Biggs card. That's my favorite. that was brilliant.
Yes.
Wait, what?
There's a Paul Heaver Biggs card.
The troll card. Oh,
like a fan card?
Yeah, the troll card from Worlds.
I never saw that. Okay.
It's probably 2 feet from you right now on the table.
Well, it goes to show you, I haven't seen that one.
And my favorite is the PS2 Lancer class pursuit craft, the Shadowport Hunter. I just absolutely love the contrast and color in the picture. If you guys haven't
seen the purple one,
no, it's not purple. But it's you the see Shadowcaster the ship,
just yeah, like over like Earth effectively.
Yeah, you see like the water and you see like mountains and stuff in the back. It looks just really pretty.
Oh, and yeah, that is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's just I really like that one. So yeah, those are our favorite art cards. Kayla Moore or KU Moore, not sure how to pronounce your name, sir, but we're trying.
This is hilarious.
He asks here, bang, marry, or kill, and your options are Sunter, Fen Rao, and Miranda Donny.
Man, I haven't played F, Marry, Kill since I was like in eighth grade.
Now, is this referring to the ships or the actual people behind them? Because there's two dudes and a girl here. So we got to get, before we, you know, I got to get the parameters right, before I answer here.
There were no parameters given in this question.
So I guess you can claim whatever way you want to say it, I guess, is the way you do it.
All right. Well, I mean, I would definitely bang Miranda. I would marry Sunter Fel because he should be rich, and I'd kill Fen Rao.
Strong.
Figures that me and my husband are going to have the exact same answer, although it's for slightly different reasons.
You're going to bang Miranda?
Yeah, because I'm assuming that they're ships, not people.
Oh, I was assuming they were people.
He got excited. Anyway.
I feel like I need to marry Sunter because Sunter was just like my flagship forever, and Fen Rao just annoys me, so it needs to die, and so that just leaves Miranda for banging. It's my only other option.
because I have to. Marcel,
I'm taking the ship approach as well, so I am going to bang the heck out of Fen. Boy, Mac and Bang. I'm going to marry Sunter because it's safe and secure. And I'm going to kill Miranda because I hate Miranda.
So we all married Sunter. That's cute. Now we know Dion isn't going to marry Sunter.
Sunter is the kind of ship you bring home to mama.
Okay, so I would, if we take this in the most practical approach, because I think that's the funnier way to look at it, right? I kill Sunter because I hate him. It's just the bane of my existence. I'll bang Fen because it's just one time. You just get it over with. You close your eyes and it's just over. Okay? You just get it over with. And then you marry Miranda, or I will marry Miranda, because then I'm happy. It's with a woman because that's just my preference. You know, if you like dudes, whatever. That's your thing. I don't care. But it's a safe choice. Like, I'm married. You know, the Fen Rao thing, we can hide that. That's something that happened in college. You just leave it alone. Nobody has to know. And it's done. I hope you're satisfied with your answer, Mr. Caleb Moore. Okay?
Yeah, thanks for submitting such a great question, actually.
That's a fine one.
And then we rounded out Super G-rated with, what is your favorite Disney movie?
Nice.
Yeah.
Mine is Beauty and the Beast. Love that movie. Have always loved that movie. Actually, Ron's nickname for me is Belle. So that's a nice little tidbit. And my favorite mug is actually one that I found at Disney World. It's totally perfect for me, if you know me. It says, it's hard to be a beauty when the mornings are a beast. It's the best mug ever.
Well... you know what I'm going to say? And it's going to get a lot of flack.
Uh-oh.
But I would say... normally I would say... I don't want to say Star Wars is my favorite Disney movie because that feels like a cop-out.
It is a cop-out. You can't say that.
but I'm going to say Tron Legacy. That's my favorite Disney movie. Because I wanted to bring back Tron.
So this is you're trying to give a cookie to Disney to try to get them to bring.
No, you know what? I actually love Tron Legacy, and I actually love the show even more. The show that no one ever saw. I don't know if you ever saw Tron Uprising. Show was great. Unfortunately, it did not last, and I was disappointed when there was no Tron 3. So I do love Tron.
Okay, Marcel.
Oh, it's an easy one. Super easy. Got to go with the Jungle Book.
Nice. That's a strong pick.
You just got to go pick. With Jungle Book.
The animated one, though, right?
Bare necessities. That's yes. How. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like it. So that's actually my second favorite. So you're almost on the same wavelength. My favorite is Mulan.
I would never have picked that in a million years.
See, she is so badass.
Okay. I mean, she is. Yeah. She totally is. She is definitely a girl power princess.
Business, right? I mean, she's the music's good too. It's great.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, it was a tough choice between Tron and Toy Story, but
I thought you were gonna say Toy Story.
Wait, Toy Story is Pixar.
It's Disney's Pixar.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if Pixar was Disney at the time of Toy Story.
It was released by Disney at the time.
Okay.
And made by Pixar.
Yes. And made by Pixar. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so those are our listeners.
Those are
questions.
Our favorite Disney movies, yay.
Yeah.
I'm totally down for some Disney animated series karaoke at the next Worlds.
Let's do this.
All part right. of your world.
we're going to make that happen. Okay, guys.
Where are those transmissions you intercepted? What have you done with those plans?
Everyone, welcome to my favorite segment.
Woo!
You guys happy to be here?
I'm happy.
Right now, honestly, as far as events going on, we're still in store championship season. We've got, another 2 months of store championships going on. I know this crew will be going to quite a few of them.
Yeah, we will.
We have the Pastimes Store Championship August 5th and the 6th. We're definitely going to make this a weekend of events, so be sure to mark your calendar, come out. The prizes will be worth it. I'll be announcing the prizes by the time this airs, so look out for the events and the registration. As far as our store championship goes, you know, Dion will be streaming live. We will also have the North American Championship. What is it? 2 weeks after that?
Yep.
Yeah, 2 weeks after that. So if you really want practice and you want to play against great players, earn great prizes before North American Championships at Gen Con and before Nationals at Nova, I would highly recommend you come out to the Gold Squadron Store Championship at Pastimes.
Yep, that's your best practice tournament that's coming up. So, with all the store championships happening, we are streaming live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Gold Squadron Podcast. It literally is almost every single weekend. You have your
thank
your
you,
live
Devin, X-Wing. For letting you do that.
Oh my God, yes. Yes. She gets it. She gets it. She's amazing.
Just because she gets it doesn't mean she has to let you do it.
But, oh no, so. I know.
Thank
I know,
you, but, Devin.
Yes, big thank you. If you haven't already, you can watch our X-Wing tutorials and replays of our streams on our YouTube channel. Just look up Gold Squadron Podcast. And lastly, if you enjoy the show and you want to help us continue expanding our content while getting awesome swag, go to patreon.com/goldsquadron. Everyone who pledges gets the cool swag. $2 and up starts getting more stuff. If you haven't seen already, I spoiled the quad jumper and Ron's absolute favorite, Jess Pava, alternate art cards that we spoiled. They look amazing.
And yeah, they look sick. I need 2 copies of Jess Pava.
Yeah, you do. So for Ron, Andrea, and Marcel, this is Dio Morales, Gold Squadron, out.